Hi, I'm Lorcan and I'm here with Anna Marie from Mashable. Can you tell me why and how you got involved in journalism?
Well, I think ultimately the reason I got involved in journalism is I wanted to have a career that was really creative. I used to love drawing and art and art history and, you know, English when I was in school. But I've also loved physics and chemistry and maths and, you know, was very into the techie kind of side of things as well. And so I was trying to find a career that would be able to be quite multifaceted yet also creative. Ultimately, I love telling stories. And the way I ended up studying journalism was I did a degree in film and broadcasting in Ainger Street DIT. I made a radio documentary as part of my final project and absolutely fell in love with the process of going out and meeting different people and the process of interviewing them and then editing it and putting it, creating something new from that. And so that made me realise, I think I want to be a journalist. So I applied to do a master's in journalism in DCU and the rest is history.
Okay. How has mobile technology and social media changed the work of the journalists?
So when I first started out as a journalist, you know, this was when Facebook was still only very, very new. There was Twitter as well, but Snapchat wasn't even around at that stage. And I don't even know if Instagram was around at the time. Vine definitely wasn't around. And so social platforms were being used just to socialize with your friends. I remember Bebo and MySpace were around at that time. And, you know, it wasn't really being used as a news gathering tool or as a news distribution tool. And so the main big change that's happened now is that social media platforms are being used to distribute news, to share information, but also to news gather and to be the source for where we can produce original journalism. I think it has brought on its whole set of new challenges though for journalists. So while, you know, the basic principles of journalism and really want run on one of checking your sources and getting two reputable sources for a story to stand it up or to verify information, all of the principles of journalism are still involved. There are a whole new set of challenges around verification, and fake news in particular in the last like 12 to 18 months has become a really, really big issue. And it's in public discourse now with the likes of Donald Trump talking about organisations being fake news. So he's appropriated that term. And so there's a whole set of new challenges for journalists now that didn't even exist two years ago.
What piece of work or project are you most proud of and why?
Again, that's a really difficult question to answer because I think you go through very different phases in your career where you're very proud of different things. And so, for example, I started out in RTE where I was reading the news on 2FM and making reports on Morning Ireland and the News at One. And I was very proud of a lot of the coverage that I did during that time. You know, I was there during the 2007 general election coverage and there was a complete change in government at the time. I remember the Progressive Democrats, the party imploded and lost a lot of their seats. And so, you know, there's so many different examples of stories I've worked on that were impactful. And then in the BBC, for example, I launched BBC Trending and I'm very, very proud about that because it wasn't something that I initially had this master plan to set out to do. I was doing a lot of mobile and social video and encouraging the TV presenters in the BBC World Newsroom to do likewise at the time. This was about 4 years ago. And that led me to being approached to pilot BBC Trending and, you know, it ended up being a huge success. So I'm very, very proud of that. Yet I'm also very, very proud of the fact that now I'm working as an editor for Mashable in a media organisation that's would be considered a relatively new media, and it's got a very startup mentality. So it really just depends on the context. I've lots of different things that I am very proud of, and hopefully in the future I'll have many more things that I'll be pleased about that happen throughout my career.
Your programme called Crowd Control had everybody talking about privacy online. For you, what was the most shocking thing you found out when you were doing your research?
Doing the research or actually being on camera and what ended up in the edit for the documentary?
More the research, kind of.
Really interesting. You know what? I think that the main revelation for me was that I had looked at the whole idea of big data and your digital footprint in a very one-dimensional way, where I thought about it as, my activity on social media this is the digital footprint that I'm laying for myself. But the biggest revelation for me was that it wasn't just either A, related to social media, or B, related to just me. There were other factors and other agents involved where there were my digital footprint was being impacted by what other people around me posted about their lives too. So for example, this wasn't in the edit for the final documentary, but we had a cyber security expert do a little bit of digging into me in one sequence, and he had about 24 hours just to like stalk me online and find out lots of different things about me, and he ended up finding out where I lived in London and how much I paid for my house and all of those things. He found that out through the Register of Electors, which, you know, is concerning to think that this information is in the public domain, and if there were malign forces at play, that someone could actually easily track you down. But the thing that it surprised me most was it was actually a lot of the traditional things that ended up connecting me to other people. So this security expert was able to find out the names and ages of all of my nieces, and I'm very, very protective of posting anything about them online because they're minors. You know, it's not my place, in my view, to lay their digital footprint for them, and I want to make sure that they're protected and insulated from that. Yet it was something as traditional as a notice of a baptism or a christening in the Irish Times newspaper, which then the digital iteration of that actually was a little part of the puzzle of my digital footprint as well, because the expert could then link me to my sister and my brother-in-law and then the names of my nieces and then find out more information from there. So it's a whole big matrix of info that's happening in what we might perceive as non-digital spaces as well, you know. And that's what was the big revelation for me.
You were recently named on Silicon Republic's SciTech 100. What impact do you think science technology will have on society in the next 5 years?
Oh, that is an absolutely huge question. I think that there is no doubt that science and technology is having a massive impact on our day-to-day lives. You only need to look at how, you know, devices are impacting how we interact with each other, whether that's in the context of dating and our relationships with each other, going on Tinder and Bumble and, you know, so many other Grindr, so many apps. So that's had an impact on the way in which we interact with each other in real life and also in these spaces, but also in terms of technology. There are so many things happening now that it's quite mind-blowing to think that, you know, we're living in a world now where self-driving cars are being tested on the roads, and this is happening, and artificial intelligence is real. And, you know, I was just thinking about someone like Elon Musk, for example, of Tesla and SpaceX. He's also working on a project to plant like AI or a machine in as part of your brain and to beat AI. So this whole idea of the race against the machines and where we're going to be like 10 years from now is actually relatively mind-blowing, and it sounds like something from a science fiction novel, but actually it's something that could very well be a reality sooner rather than we think.
Okay, thank you very much.